Good morning. Let me ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. We'll look at a passage here before we continue our study in the book of Acts. Richard spoke about a very interesting topic this morning, death. All right? The Bible talks about death as being a certainty. It's going to happen. And the Bible also tells us that we need to be prepared for death. So as you're sitting here this morning, I'd like you first of all to ask yourselves this question. Is my heart right with God? Am I prepared to meet the Lord on Judgment Day? And that's an important question for each of us. Now, everyone here has a different background, different experiences they have in life, particularly when it comes to their relationship to God. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says in verse 1, "Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling of which you were called." He's reminding us is that there are certain expectations placed upon each and every one of us. And we have to walk a certain way. He says, "With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love." Now think about that. Steve mentioned it at the beginning, that we are here, we love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. We love our God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. You might be sitting here this morning and you might be having some kind of problem in your life. I don't know what it is. But I'm going to tell you right now that with God, you are not alone. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's going to be with you. You're not alone if you are with God. But if you are not with God, I would hate to be in that kind of situation. God loves you. God desires to be with you. Verse 3, it says, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." What that's telling us is, Christians, we need to work together. We have fellowship with one another. And that fellowship is based on the love that we have for God and the love we have for each other. That fellowship must be strong to love one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I love this congregation. I love everybody here. Because an important topic came up this morning, about what happens when we die. And we as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can talk about these things together, can't we? In a spirit of unity. Because all we want to do is turn to God's word. That's it. We love each other. When we talk about things, we focus on what God's word says. Now, verse 4. Please look at this. Again, there's some here this morning. I'm not sure what your background is. But I want to emphasize something to you, take away with you this morning as we continue. It says, "There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called in the hope of your calling." And what he's emphasizing here is you need to be a part of that body. That body is, other words, called the church, his kingdom. There is one body. When you look in the world today, there are many different groups that claim they are that one body. But God says, no, there's only one body. Look at verse 5. "One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." And what I want to focus on again this morning, as we continue to study the book of Acts, he says, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism." That baptism is essential to be a part of the body of Christ. Let's turn now to Acts chapter 10 as we continue to study in the book of Acts. And again, the book of Acts, as the book of Luke, is a history, an account of the early church. So we can look to this history and this account, and we can get facts delivered to us about his church. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of different groups that teach things that claim to be what God wants you to do, but they are lying to you. They are deceiving you. And they do it, they're very skilled at it. Because who is their father? Who are they serving when they lied to you? They're serving Satan. And Satan is the father of lies. He's very good at it. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever lied? If you say no, you're probably lying. Right? We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when we lie, we need to recognize that we have sinned before God. And God wants us to deal with it in that way. And here's a man, Cornelius. And this man in Acts chapter 10 is described as being somebody who was, look at verse 2, Acts chapter 10, a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. This man was trying to serve God in the way that he knew how to do it. I'm going to tell you right now, you might be trying to do that too. Maybe you were taught as you were young, this is how you serve God. And you believed what you were taught. And you loved God, and you thought you were serving God the right kind of way. This man, again, as you look at that verse, is a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed to God always. I would like that to be a description of me. Devout man, one who served God, prayed to God always. But there was something missing in his life. And God sends an angel, a messenger to him to tell him something. Look down at verse 5. Now send me to Joppa, send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. If you underline verses, underline that one. He will tell you what you must do. In our lives today, there are things that we must do. And we find those things in God's word and nowhere else. Now turn to verse 33. And here Cornelius is telling what had happened. And he's talking to Peter and says, so I sent to you immediately, and you've done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded by God. I love this man Cornelius. I don't know him personally, but I love him. A devout man, one who prayed to God always, gave generously to those who had need. And here he is with his household and others. We're here to hear the things commanded you by God. And let me ask you a question. Are you here this morning to hear the things commanded to you by God? Do you have that same attitude? You know, some people might be here because, oh, I got up late, I had to run and get here on time. It's a thing to do. It's like going to a ball game, maybe, or watching a show. I'm going to tell you right now, assembling here on the Lord's Day is not like going to a ball game or watching a show. We're here to do what? Worship our God in truth and spirit, in love. And it needs to be a high top priority in your life to worship him in truth and spirit. They come and listen, and Peter then begins to preach Jesus to them. And as he's preaching to them, something takes place. Verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. The Holy Spirit came upon this group in the same way it did on those Jews on the day of Pentecost. Remember, Peter here is preaching to those who are Gentiles. They're not Jews. And Peter before didn't even want to do it. He believed that God didn't want him to do that. He had to have instruction. Preach the good news to who? All the world. Go into where? All the world. Now he's doing it. And now he's got those with him that came with him who are being witnesses. The Holy Spirit has came upon these Gentiles in the same way. Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. There's the sign. There's the evidence. The Holy Spirit's here. And now, look what he says in verse 47. And let me ask you, are you a Christian? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? There are many people out there who teach you wrong things. And they tell you that you need to do this, or you need to do that, or you need to do this. And it's all a lie. The gospel message about how one becomes a Christian has not changed. It's the same as was preached on the day of Pentecost. And now Peter is preaching to them. And look what he says. Can anyone forbid water that they should not be baptized who receive the Holy Spirit just as we? Then he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they asked him to stay a few days. Peter is preaching the same message. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Peter is preaching the same message. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. The Holy Spirit came upon them. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind. It filled the whole house they were sitting, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. This is what happened also when Peter is preaching to them, to the household of Cornelius. The Holy Spirit came upon them. Now I'm going to point out, this is the only two times we have recorded in God's word that the Holy Spirit came in this way. But yet people want to lie to you about the Holy Spirit. And they're saying that you got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit in the same way. You got to speak in tongues. Does it anywhere in the Bible command us to do that? No. Nowhere. Again, in Acts 2, verse 37, go down there. Peter's preached to them. Now, I want you to look at this. Wake up, everyone. Wake up. Look at this very carefully. Because if you've not yet obeyed the gospel, this passage of Scripture hopefully will touch your heart. What's it say? When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. That cut to the heart. They realized what they had done. Now, when you sin, you need to realize what you have done. They were cut to the heart. We've done this. How do we get right with God? They said to Peter and the rest of the disciples, men and brethren, what shall we eat? No. What shall we do? And look what he says. Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. Time and time again, we have to emphasize this. The message has not changed. When you hear the message about Jesus Christ, who he is, you need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You need to be willing to confess him before men. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then Peter says, repent of your sins and do what? Be baptized for the remission of sins. Now, is that difficult to understand? No. Has the message changed since it was first preached? No. And I'm going to tell you right now, anyone sitting here, we cannot make an excuse for ourselves. Because if you stand before God and say, well, I heard the message, but I was going to put it off until next week, next month. I'm going to wait till I sow a few wild oats. I actually was teaching, learning on somebody, preaching the gospel, sitting in their home. And that individual says, I need to sow some more oats. I need to do some more things before I do that. Is that the attitude God wants you to have? No. Because what he was telling me is, I know what the Bible says, but I want to do some of those things God don't want me to do. And then maybe after I got all this out of my system, is that what God wants you to do? No. Because I'm going to tell you right now, telling me that, when he said that, he was saying, I'm going to serve not God, but who? I'm going to serve Satan. And that's the decision each and every one of us make. Now, Peter told them exactly what to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now let's turn back to Acts chapter 10. Cornelius, as we looked at that description of him in verse 2, it says he was a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Now you might know people who might be like this. Many people who are religious, they think they're saved. They go to some denomination somewhere, they do good, and they think they are right before God. But still, Cornelius, even though he did all these things, again, look at verse 2, a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously, prayed to God always, there were still things that he needed to be told to do. He wasn't right before God, even though he was doing all these things. He prayed to God always. He was a devout man. There was still something he had to be told to do. And let's turn to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, verse 13, because Peter is now giving the account, he told us how he seen an angel standing in his house and said to him, send men to Joppa, call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. Tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. So again, being religious, doing good things, is not what's going to alone save you. There are many examples in the scriptures of those who were good people, religious people, but they were not right before God. And they had to do something to be saved. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. When we assemble on the first day of the week, one thing that we do, because we are commanded to do this, and we have example in the scriptures, is we partake of the Lord's Supper. Is that something a faithful Christian must do? Yes, it is. And it's not because we like the taste. I don't even know if I like the taste. But why is it we do it? Because we are commanded to do it, and we have the example in the scriptures. Upon when? The first day of the week, when they came together, they did these things. Everything we do today, scripturally speaking, is by command, example, or what? Inference, that's the third one. Trick question. But we study God's word. We can look at specific commands. We can look at examples, and then we can also infer by what's being done. But we can know God's word and do what's acceptable to him. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Again, there might be someone sitting here this morning. You've not yet obeyed the gospel. You've not done it. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can give every excuse you want. It don't matter when you stand before God. You can give every excuse you want. Because God doesn't want you to put it off. When does God want you to do it? Right now. Right now. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10 again, verse 34. Because this message is for who? Who's this message for? Everybody. No exceptions. This message is for everybody. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34, Peter said, In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. God shows no what? Partiality. Every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. And we're going to stop there because of time. Now, I got a completely different lesson prepared for this morning, but for some reason I chose to do this. And I want to kind of explain this to you in a very simple way. There might be somebody sitting here this morning, and by all appearance, you look like you are right with God. There's a story of a man, a sailor. He'd been unfaithful to God, left the Lord, unfaithful completely. He was on a boat, storm comes, and his heathen friends, you know, storm comes and they're desperate. Say, you got to do something. They're talking to him. He's been unfaithful. He said, look, I ain't got nothing to do with God for such a long. The storm is coming down on him. They're desperate. Do something. So he says a prayer. Pray for us. He says, dear God, I know I've been unfaithful to you for 15 years. If you just help us right now, I won't bother you again for another 15 years. Is that what God wants to hear from us? No, it's not. God wants us to be in fellowship with him. Now, the other lesson I had prepared had to do with fellowship. I always have hundreds of lessons ready to go. And God willing, I'm going to preach that lesson on fellowship. The reason Richard keeps bringing it up, yes, you do, Richard, now and then you do. And that is, we need to have fellowship with who? With each other. Yes? We need to have fellowship with each other. Why do we need to have fellowship with each other? It's a biblical example, and it's a biblical command. It's a proven fact that those who are in solitary confinement, what do they want? What do they want if they're in solitary confinement? They want someone else to be with them. They don't want to be alone. And Satan knows that, doesn't he? Satan knows that. He knows that if he can separate you from God, guess what? You're basically all alone spiritually. The Lord's not there with you because you've separated yourself. Now, we are commanded to assemble how often? at least upon the first day of the week. And we are commanded not to what? Forsake the assembling of ourselves. So when Christians gather together, should you be there? Yes. Can I hear amen on that?
Amen.
Should we make that a priority? Yes. Above everything else. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you are not assembling with your brothers and sisters in Christ to worship God, who are you assembling with? Satan. If you make the choice. Sometimes by the providence of God, you can't assemble. But when you can, and you make the choice not to, guess what? You made a wrong choice. That was part of my other lesson. I'll get to that. If you're here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we want to encourage you to take that step now while you have the opportunity. And if you're a brother or sister in Christ, if you need the prayer of this congregation, please come forward now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.